The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I feel humbled today to be with you. Haven't we had great music? And God's blessed in such a way. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians, the little book of Colossians, after those large books that Paul wrote, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you'll find the little book of Colossians. And I'm going to just ask you to turn to that. Colossians has four chapters, and we're going to look at all of this book found here. As you were to read in the book of Colossians, there are great truths here about Jesus. This is probably one of Paul's greatest written about Jesus. It goes the depth about Jesus and the height of Jesus and the breadth of Jesus. But today, as I have looked at this little book in Colossians that Paul had never visited, there jumped out at me in this passage of Scripture, thanksgiving. That is, that characterizes all of our life, that we ought to be thankful, grateful people. So if you have your Bible open to the book of Colossians, let me just ask you to follow here in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, pray always for you." And then if you look down to verse 12 of chapter 1, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And if you would turn over to the second chapter, you would look down at verse 7, and it says, "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith in thanksgiving." And then if you would look over to chapter 3, and you would go down to verse 12, it says, "Therefore put on as the elect and holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness, and long-suffering." It goes on, and then in verse 15 it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." In chapter 4 and verse 2, it says to us, "Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving." In every chapter in this little verse, there is the sense that you and I ought to be thankful, grateful people. Thanksgiving ought to characterize our life and our daily walk. Now, we're going to celebrate a holiday in the United States of America this week that we call Thanksgiving. But the Scripture would say to us as followers of Jesus Christ that there ought to be thanksgiving in the heart of every believer. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this book of Colossians to the little church at Colossae, to a church that he had never been and never seen. He had never seen these people. But he wrote to them because he wanted to stress what he had heard, that thanksgiving ought to be in every believer's heart. That we should be grateful people. And so I ask the question sometimes in my mind, where was Paul when he wrote this little book to the church at Colossae? If we could bring a scope and scope the ancient church of Colossae to the day that you and I live in, to 2025, what would characterize Paul being so thankful? Well, you know, I might say, "Why, my goodness, he was just down at the Holiday Inn, and he had eaten a big steak and had a big meal, and he went to his hotel and And he said, you know, I just got enough time in order to write this letter to the church at Colossae, and I better get busy before the game comes on. Or you might say that, you know, he had just received the award of being the most popular man in all of the Roman Empire. He just couldn't sit down to take the task of communicating with those people without saying, oh, I'm so thankful. Now, we know that Paul would never have received the award of the most popular man in the Roman Empire. But, you know, and we could say that he had just had a big revival in that church at Laodicea. Now, your pastor's been preaching on the book of Revelation. So in those first chapters, we'll find the church at Laodicea. And Colossae was just not too far from Laodicea. And that Laodicea was a wealthy church. And so the Apostle Paul may have finished a big revival there, and he got a big love offering. He said, you know, before the game comes on tonight, I'm going to have to write that letter to the book at Colossae. But somebody out there whispered the answer to that. In chapter 4, the last chapter, it says here in the book of Colossians, it says, remember me and my bonds. The Apostle Paul was in prison. You see, oftentimes circumstances in your life and in my life cause us to react to certain things. When we have things going for us and when all seems well in our life and we are upbeat about that, but when difficulties and problems occur, we sometimes hit the bottom of the sense of the day's work. But here, Paul said through his actions, gratitude and thanksgiving ought to be acknowledged by believers everywhere. Does thankfulness characterize your life and my life? It seems that we could get out a sheet of paper, and sometimes we do that, and we write down the things on that sheet of paper that we are thankful for. But I begin to think about my life. I could probably put a little tape recorder that would be activated by my voice and my wife's voice, and we could hide it in our home, you know. And so maybe sometimes in my house or maybe not in your house, but, you know, the activation might say, oh, look at my hair. I can't do anything with my hair. Of all the hairs in the world, God had to give me my hair. And these dresses, they never did fit well. And, you know, I might get up in the morning and go out there, which I've done many times, and stick that key in my car, and I'm running a little late, and I go to crank it in the cold, and I say, oh, Lord, this car never did crank when it was cold weather. I ought to know better than that. And you know, I'm going to be late for this and that. And if you were to follow me with a tape recorder, you know, and somebody try to analyze the end of the day and say, well, it was a bad day for old Eddie up here, you know. I didn't hear him be thankful about most of anything that he approached. And those people that wanted me were griping at me. But the Apostle Paul says to us that thanksgiving and thankfulness ought to characterize our lives. Spurgeon, that great preacher, said, when we thank God for our blessings, we prolong them. And when we thank God for our hardships, we usually shorten them. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of God, we ought to abound in thanksgiving. Maybe if you have a little notepad, I put in my life the insight into this book of Colossians. First of all, we ought to acknowledge the source of our blessings come from God. In doing that, we have to move from the big I to the great God. If we're not careful, we'll be taking the credit for all that takes place in our life. If we look there, again, in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." The Apostle Paul was writing to the little church at Colossae, which he had never been to, but he had heard of all the things that were taking place. He said, "Listen, I'm praying for you today. I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that thanksgiving and gratitude may come your way." If you look there again at the 12th verse, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made me to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints." There is the sense that if we want to be thankful, grateful people, we have to acknowledge the source of the blessing comes from God. We could take credit if we thanked others. We could talk about the things, the material things that we have. We talk about our jobs. We could talk about our financial security things that we have. And we can use them in a sense that, I'm sure glad that God gave me this, this, and this. But when we get down to the bare tacks of this, we have to acknowledge that God is the source from which all blessings come. I had a fellow that I met in the Rio Grande Valley. He lived in Harlingen, Texas, and his name was C.L. Smoky Boy, was his nickname. And C.L. Smoky Boy was a lay preacher. And down in the Rio Grande Valley, a lot of the northern people came during the winter down to the Rio Grande Valley and spent this winter in these areas where they had places for trailers and mobile homes and things. And he preached there. He used to say, "I'm the only pastor in the United States of America that has a full house of people every Sunday." He said, because all those people had to bring their lawn chairs and sit down. And there was never a vacant chair, he used to say. And C.L. Smoky Boyle had lots of citrus fruit orchards. He was a very well-to-do man in the sense of financial. He said, one day, there was an announcement that there was going to come a real freeze to the Rio Grande Valley. And Smoky Boyle's mother called him on the phone and said, "Son, the television is telling me on the news that there's going to be a big freeze down in Harlingen, Texas, and it's going to take care of all your fruit trees. What have you been doing?" And he began to tell her with urgency. And Smoky Boyle replied to his mother, "Mom, I put out all the heat I can do. We've done all the things that we're supposed to do as citrus fruits." But he said, if God wants to run his cold hand through his orchards, that's his business. And if he does, I will still praise him tomorrow. You see, Smoky Boyle had come to the place in his life where he said, all of these sources that I have to sustain life in this world, I've given to God. I've given God my job. I've given God my home. I've released all these material things to him, and they're under his control. There is a sense that we have to acknowledge the source of blessings that we have from God. And I think the second thing that helps me in my life from this passage of Scripture, that we have to have something specific to be thankful for that is not temporary or material. If you and I want to grow deep in our ability to express gratitude in this life that we live, we have to have something specific to be thankful for that is not temporary are material. If I have to do an examination of the things that I'm grateful for in my life, sometimes I have to say, well, you know, it won't be long. I'm so glad one of my football teams, the Oklahoma Sooners, is beating everybody. And then I found out they lost by 1 point or something like that. And my gratitude certainly leaves. But we need to have something specific to be thankful for that's not temporary or material. People praying for you. You have anybody praying for you? You know, in our house, my daughter-in-law, who's 49 years old, I went to see her folks in June, who lived in Mississippi, and she had some real pains she left here with. She thought it was this, that, and the other. When she got there, her parents said, "You better go to the doctor to get this checked." And when she got there, the doctor said, "You have liver cancer. You have stage 4 liver cancer. And you're probably going to have 2 months to live. If you don't get chemotherapy, even with chemotherapy, you'll probably have 2 years to live." And she got a little boy, 9 years of age. And you know, what we started doing is we started praying for her. That's a natural place to be. And somehow, other people, we would see them and say, "You know, you can pray for our daughter, Stephanie." And pretty soon we would tell others, "You pray for our daughter-in-law, Stephanie." And sometimes now we would get phone calls, or I would call somebody, and before I could get locked into talking to them about what I called for, they said, "How's Stephanie doing?" Now, I have an accounting firm in Shreveport that I've been using for a long time, and there's a lady down there that does all my taxes. Her name is Phoebe. And so I called Phoebe the other day to talk to her about anything, and Phoebe, she said, "How's Stephanie?" She said, "Well, who told you?" She said, "Every night I pray for Stephanie." Wasn't long till I found out that Phoebe's husband contacted cancer. And last year, he had gone on to be with the Lord. And I might call Ronnie Brown, who's one of my friends, and before I can talk to him about what I'm wanting to talk to him about, he's saying, "What about Stephanie?" And some people here already said, "What about Stephanie?" And I'm thinking, how did all these people know? And so there is a sense that if you want something that is not temporary or material, you can have people who are praying for you. Your eternal life and our eternal life through Jesus is forever, and it's not material. In this passage of Scripture in Colossians, we might find here in that first chapter, after verse 12, it says, "And giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." And then in verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and who has transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And verse 14 says, "It's whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sin." And then verses 15 and following give us a great sense of Jesus coming to this earth, that your sins and my sins can be forgiven by his death on the cross, and you and I can have eternal life. How many times do we get up in the morning And we say, you know, I have something to be thankful for that's not material, and it is not in the sense that it's temporary, but eternal life is. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have the promise of eternal life. And if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, this day is the opportunity for you to do that. For you to come to the place in your life that Jesus went to the cross for you, that He shed His blood for you, and that if you and I would commit our life to Him, to follow Him, and seek His forgiveness, and turn our lives over to Him, that you and I will be forgiven of all of our sin, of all of our evil thoughts, of all of our misdeeds, and we will have the promise of everlasting life. What a wonderful thing to give thanksgiving about and to be grateful about, that someone paid the price for our sins. So we have people who are praying for us that we can be grateful for. We have eternal life that God has given us through His Son Jesus. And we have the answer to prayers in the fourth chapter of this little book. In the second verse it says to continue in prayer. Watch in the same giving thanks. It says, listen, just keep praying. Keep praying with a pure heart before the Lord and watch what God is going to do. You know, I've had people who would pray and ask people to pray and people to pray about their loved ones, people to pray about friends that they've known who lives far away, and one day they hear that those individuals that they've been praying for have come to allow the Lord to work in their life, and their life is changing and they're being used by the Lord. You know what? Gratefulness overcomes them and comes in upon them. The answer to prayer. You know, you and I ought to practice being thankful. We ought to look for something to be grateful for in every circumstance of life. We ought to be thankful in every circumstance of life. A lot of things happen in my life that it's real difficult for me to be grateful. But I should be. Matthew Henry, that great, renowned preacher, said that one day he was robbed. And when he went home, he sat down and he decided that he would think about the robbery. And this is what he wrote. I have never been robbed before, and I thank God for that. Number two, he said, they took my wallet, but not my life. And I thank God for that. And number three, he wrote down, they took all I had, but it wasn't much. And I thank God for that. And then he wrote this, I was robbed. Not I who robbed. And I am thankful for that. Thanksgiving ought to characterize all of our life in every day, regardless of the circumstance. George Herbert's prayer was, Our Father, You have given us so much. Give us one more thing, a grateful heart. I wonder if you'd bow your head all over this auditorium. And you would take a look for a moment of your life. Does gratefulness characterize your life? I have to ask myself that question. Perhaps on this pre-Thanksgiving day, you might could ask the Lord to give you one more thing, a grateful heart. Are you here and can you say in your life that you're grateful for eternal life because of your relationship with Jesus? If not, this morning you could make that commitment. I'm going to be here at the front. And as we sing this hymn of invitation, maybe you would like to make a decision. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar in the front row and seek God for a grateful heart. Father, thank you for your challenge in this little book of how important thanksgiving and gratefulness needs to characterize the life of every believer. Father, bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's bow together. Father, thank you for your great love toward us. And Father, go with us now as we leave this place. And Father, may we be grateful, thankful people, and that we won't have to look very far to see what we can be thankful about. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.